Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Cambucos.
Hey guys, welcome to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete Cambucos here coming to you from the forum. And this week we have got Keith back. Keith Anderson, welcome back, Keith.
I am back. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to get back in the groove and talk to you guys about some crazy stuff. I go away for a couple of weeks and the whole world's on fire. Well, what's going on?
You go away for a couple of weeks and become a new father. So yes. Welcome to fatherhood and congrats, yes. Man.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. It changes perspective on quite a bit of stuff. So, and everybody told me it would, and I believed them, and then sure enough, they were right. So, it's exciting to go through that process. Anybody out there that's going through it, congrats to you. And, I encourage anybody thinking about it. It's life changing. It's worth any hassle or frustrations or struggles. It's worth it to see something so special. So
that's cool. Well, congrats to you and Anna. Happy for you guys and glad to have you back here. So yeah, let's jump into what we've got going. So guys, I think today we want to talk about, you know, what's going on with mortgage rates, the impact stuff on the market, because obviously that is a big, big thing on everybody's mind right now. Yeah. Stuff that we're getting, you know, pretty often, you know, we've seen rates, we were just talking about it before we went on the air here. You know, we've seen mortgage rates higher than they've been in what, I don't know, what do we say? 7-8 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Almost 10.
Almost a decade.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably been...
No, it is higher. Yeah.
Higher than they've been in over a decade.
Yeah, over a decade.
2007, something like that. Yeah. Was probably the last time we saw them.
So almost 15, 15 years. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
This is what happens when you get old.
We're talking about some crazy stuff. And so today, for the most part, it's a mortgage rate recap. We're going to see where we're at, where we've progressed so far this year. Obviously, we had some predictions from last year coming into this year. We knew some things were going to happen. So we're going to review this. Where are we at? And then what's their current impact on us? And again, what's that trajectory looking like? Let's stay ahead of the eight ball. Like a lot of the times we talk about, most of the time, it's not about getting lucky. It's about being prepared and seeing what's coming and prepping and planning, right? So let's take a peek at it today. So let's start out with, where are we at currently with mortgage rates?
Yep. So as we sit here, and I think this is going to come out probably just 2 days after we're recording this, guys. So as we're sitting here today, we've got mortgage rates on average for a 30-year fix, and obviously situation to situation is going to vary, but on average, we're sitting at about 5.5%, give or take. We started the year at about 3.5%, again, give or take.
Yeah, and if you had a great, if you could still get sub 3% if you had an amazing credit line and, you know, you had a lot of money going down. So there were some people getting sub 3%, but the average was sitting in the mid 3s for the average consumer.
Yeah. So we're up, you know, 2%. I mean, look at that. You know, we're up, I don't know, quick math, whatever that is, 75, 80%.
Yeah. I mean, that's the scary number again, is that percentage of increase.
Yeah.
80% up, 75% up. I mean, if you're going from 10 to 12%, that's not that big of a deal in relative terms, but to almost double rates.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
In such a short period of time. We're not even at the end of April here. You know, we're coming up on the end of April.
So 90 days,
3.5 months or so that happened. And so, you know, we're sitting here today. We're looking again, before we started recording, at what the 10-year treasury is doing, which is the one that, you know, correlates to mortgage rates. And we could get on that in a minute here. But that's been down. You know, that was down today. It was down a little bit on Friday.
Good.
Sitting at about 2.79. But let's talk about how this is impacting, you know, where we're at right now is impacting our markets and, you know, the demand and our buyers. So I think this right here, this next number that I'm going to throw out there is probably what everybody is feeling the most. So we're seeing this rates, like we said, increased about 2%. So we're now in, you know, give or take the mid fives on a 30-year fix. What that really translates to is, how does this affect the mortgage payments and therefore affordability, what people can buy, what
buying power.
Buying power.
Yep.
So that difference, that roughly 2% in mortgage payments over the first 3.5 months translates to over 20% increase in their mortgage payment. And I had the number at the end of March, was just over 20%. We've been up since then in April. So we're sitting at about 21 to 25% increase on average in people's mortgage payments. So that means if you wanted to buy the exact, so let's say, you know, $500,000 house last year, and that mortgage payment was going to be, again, let's just use round numbers, $500,000 house last year, mortgage payment was going to be $2,000. That thing right now for that exact same $500,000 house, just with the change in rates, is going to be up about, you know, 21 to 25%. So let's just say 25% to make the math easy. You're looking at now about $2,500 for the exact same property just when rates go up. So now, you know, that's a big change in monthly mortgage payments, especially for folks that were trying to stretch to those bigger price points or barely qualifying to begin with.
Yeah, I think that's where the pressure is. And we were talking about it today is, you know, someone that had a range that said, hey, I want my mortgage payment in the low 2000s, right? Somewhere in there. You can stretch to probably 2500 and make the same house work. Now, granted, what you were getting for a $2,000 mortgage is now 2500, and that's still a drastic difference. But the biggest pain that I see is saying, if someone said, I can only afford a $2,000 mortgage, mm-hmm. like that's the highest I can go. And I was looking at a type of house over the last 90 days, and now what I can look for is significantly different. So now the houses that they're going to need to be looking at were the ones that were for an $1,800, $1,700 mortgage that is now up there near $2,000. So it's a massive difference when you start to see that for the lower price point buyers, the ones that have those limits, those hard stops. It's going to make it really tough for that buyer that was capped out at a $400,000 purchase price because of their mortgage, their DTI.
And I would even say, you know, more importantly or more poignantly, who it's affecting is those first time buyers.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. And the reason is not only, Keith, what you were just talking about, you know, where they're at with affordability, but think about the difference between a first time buyer and a move up buyer. Okay. If the mortgage rates are going up, we still have inflation going up. We still have housing prices going up. So if you're selling a house and trying to move into another one, well, some of these rates are, you know, offset by the fact that you're going to be getting equity from the house that you're selling. Maybe that price, well, actually that price is still going up, except in very few markets, but if through most of the United States, their prices are still going up. So they're going to get more equity. Yep. They can put more down.
Make it easier on them.
And so what we're seeing is we still have, you know, relatively tight lending standards. We still have, you know, folks that have, if they're selling homes, they're having equity, or if they've got other assets, that can help offset some of that by having a down payment, having a large down payment or a larger down payment. But the first time buyers, you know, they don't have that house to sell. They don't have the equity. And maybe if they're younger, they don't have a lot of assets. There's not much there to offset, and those folks are getting priced out again.
Yeah, look at it this way. If you were a buyer really focusing on trying to use down payment assistance programs to purchase a house, it was already hard to do it over the last, you know, year. But with this rate hike, to get DPA, you're going to be sitting at 7.5% or higher potentially for an interest rate to get down payment assistance. And for those of you guys that don't know, down payment assistance is going to be a secondary type loan on top of your first to cover the down payment. So that way, you know, if you're buying a conventional loan, you're not going to have to come in with the whole 5% down for your first time home purchase. You're going to be given that upfront, and then you're going to have that as a second that lasts for a couple years, and then you can refi out or do something like that. Now, what that means though, is if you're coming in at a 7+, 7.5 or more percent interest rate, that just minimized your buying power even further. It's going to be very tough for these first time home buyers that have little capital to come into the market.
Right. And so it's becoming tough for some of those. And so that's when we talk about, we see that demand destruction, you know, around the edges, like we said, you know, the periphery, but this doesn't create supply. You know what I mean? And so what we're seeing is a very slight increase in supply. And we could talk, you know, about the Phoenix metro market here specifically.
Well, and is that an increase in supply, or are we seeing supply increase because of a slight decrease in demand?
And that's a very good point. And that's where we're going to. It's mainly from two things. Because supply is very inelastic. It's not like all of a sudden they can start pumping out all these homes and here they are. Otherwise, you know, problem solved.
Especially with building taking so long as it is on top of it.
Exactly. So what are we seeing? We're seeing supply increase ever so slightly due to two factors. The first one is, yes, we're seeing some of that demand destruction, like we said, at the edges, the first time home buyers, people that were barely qualifying, you know, move up buyers that can no longer qualify for those more expensive. So that's a little bit of it, of the demand, but we're not seeing demand plummet.
No,
it's just coming down slightly. Yeah. So you're getting a little bit of the increase there because you just don't have as many buyers, even though we still got a ton. Stuff still selling super quick, still very low supply. The other one, I think sometimes people forget, and I was just pointing out to the team this week, it's the seasonal curve. And that happens every single year. And so we tend to bottom out for our inventory here in the Phoenix metro area in March or April. You know, and so we start at the beginning of the year and then go through, you know, our peak selling season through about the end of May, if you will.
Yeah.
So we really see sales pick up and we see that inventory get drawn down through about March, April, and then we'll start to level off and tick up till about, you know, the end of August going into September when things start to level out again towards the end of the year. That happens every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's right where we are now. We're coming at the end of April and we're getting that normal seasonal curve in addition to a little bit of demand destruction, which is why we're just starting to see a little bit, that slight increase in inventory, but we see that, you know, with the seasonal curve every year.
So, I mean, we're going to be seeing quite a bit of changes coming and we don't exactly know exactly what those are, but we're going to see some different feel. Like, I think that's the difference more than anything that we've been talking about is it feels a little different. It feels a little bit murkier than we've felt in, you know, the recent months and again, the recent years. And so we've talked about the thing, hey, we're going down this direction. We're really strong. The only thing that's ever going to create a correction in our market is if interest rates increase dramatically, which inadvertently affects demand and supply, and or we see another sector of our economy crash and then it affects us adversely in a different way, right? Like we've looked at those. Well, we're starting to see one of those shed some light. And if we continue at this pace, there's going to be some interesting things. So let's talk a little bit about that compared to, you know, recent years. I know you talked about something about a 40-year, you know, thing that we've been seeing over the last 40 years. Tell me a little bit more about that. What's this difference?
So we've got a 40-year trend here that we can talk about. And so, you know, this is the first time in quite some time, too, that it's led to something different. But what we've got is basically a trend since, 1980, 81, you know, whatever it is. It's about a 40-year trend of declining rates. And so 80, 81, I want to say it was 81. We had mortgage rates up around, you know, 18%. You know, Fed funds rate was up, you know, 16% or whatever it was.
Let's pause right there. Hold on a second, guys. So everybody freaking out right now, you know, running for the hills. I don't want to purchase a house. Did you just tell me that rates were at 18%
on a 30-year mortgage?
So when you go and you look and you're like, oh my goodness, 5.5%. I'm going to lose everything. 18%, guys. Yeah. Like this is, it's more than three times.
We certainly can't complain about that risk. I mean, just to put in
historically low, guys.
And let's just remember, we've got official inflation rates right now running at about 8.5%.
So we're still below inflation.
So we're still quite a bit below inflation on mortgages. So every year that you have that, it's running, you know, it's destroying some of your debt there, which is a good thing.
Okay. So,
but back to what we're saying. So we've had that 40-year trend. So it hit that high in about 1981 or so. And ever since then, it's been stair-stepping down with, you know, lower lows and lower highs. So, you know, it's coming down in a zigzag, but if you can imagine kind of a stair step down. So we go up and down a little bit, but each time it bounces up, it doesn't go as high as the previous time. And then each time it comes down, it goes a little bit lower than the previous time. Mm-hmm. So that's what we mean by lower lows and lower highs.
And is that on a yearly basis? You know, what are we looking at?
It's just in the range. And so that range, it can go up and down, you know, over the course of months or years, just depending on what's been happening in the market over the last 40 years. So that trend has been going for 40 years where we've been kind of stair-stepping down, you know, up and down in between, but stair-stepping down. This time, people are waiting to see, will we break this trend? And this is probably the first time in a long time that we have the chance that we have not broken that trend at this point. So what we would need to break this trend, if we look at, we would need to go a higher high. So the last previous high we had was the 10-year treasury at 3.19%, and that was in 2018.
Mm, Yep.
So right now, I think we mentioned at the beginning of the show,
it dropped down a little bit.
It dropped down. We were sitting, I think, on Friday, we ended at 2.9. This morning, it was at 2.79, so down a little bit. If the 10-year breaks above 3.19 and closes above 3.19, that would be the first time that this trend is broken in 40 years. So if that happens, that would mark a change, because we've had 40 years of declining rates. If that were to happen, and it has not happened yet, that would mark a change in what's going on. That would break the trend for the first time in 40 years.
Now, I hate to tell you guys, but when trends change, that's usually shed some light to, hey, maybe we should take a look at this. Like, what is this new trend that we're setting going to look like? Because if that new trend starts to become higher highs, we're going to start to see a gradual increase of rates over time. Yeah. Like, we're seeing that, right? And now keep in mind the Fed and the government, they're telling us that this is where it's heading, right? Like, we're going up, then, and they've promised these rate hikes for us. And a lot of, economists out there are saying, okay, are we going to call their bluff? Like, is this, not all of them are going to happen maybe, or maybe some of them are and some of them aren't. But like what we talked about earlier is the market's already pricing in what it expects the rate hikes to actually be over the course of time, right? So right now, that 10-year and these rates, these mortgage rates, they're trying to, I guess, if you will, for layman's terms, predict ahead of the curve what's going to happen. They want to price in these rates now.
They're anticipating what's coming.
Exactly. So they're trying to get ahead of it. Now, we could hit left field and then come out and say, hey, no more rate hikes. And then the rates are going to change. Like, we're going to see some big differences. But right now, they're expecting this, and that's why we're seeing rates climb.
And so that's what we're talking about, guys. So most of that, like you said, we're probably closer to the higher end of where we're going to be with mortgage rates than we are with the lower.
Or who knows?
Doesn't mean we've topped out, but I'm saying closer to that higher end than we are to the lower end. And that 10-year treasury that we talk about, guys, that's the one to look at. That's the one that's related to mortgage rates. Historically, the credit markets will compare, whatever the rate is on the 10-year treasury to the 30-year. And that difference, just so you look at when investors are looking at that, they're looking at what's the 10-year treasury is kind of the risk-free rate. It's guaranteed by the government, risk-free. What is that premium that I'm getting there compared to what I'm taking, the risk that I'm taking on a mortgage? And historically, just to give you guys an idea, 30-year mortgages have been about 1.7 to 1.8% higher than the 10-year treasury. So if we're looking at, and that's why I say all of this kind of tells me we're probably more towards the top end.
Yeah,
and that's the average, right? So sometimes it's been 2.5% or 3% higher. Yeah. Sometimes it's been 1%.
Which is probably closer to what it is right now.
Yeah, right now we're running higher than that.
And they're again, with raising rates, again, mortgage companies and these other companies, they're going to do the exact same thing. They're trying to get it a little higher to anticipate what's going on, right? Like, if the rates are going to continue, they don't want to be caught low and lose money. Like, that's just the way that it is. So it's going to be interesting to see how these next, few months play out.
Yeah, I mean, we're clearly seeing numbers that, these rates going up, remember, they affect everything, not just mortgages. So we're clearly seeing signs that things are slowing down in the economy, which is the way that they slow things down in the economy to get inflation under control by making, financing more expensive, and credit, continues to be hard to get. So we've seen, auto sales slowing down and, manufacturing slowing down and things like that to try to bring some of those down. So we're definitely seeing some slowing in that economy, which would, lead you to believe that, hey, maybe we are seeing, if they're anticipating 8-9 rate hikes, Fed's only done one. We might be closer to that top end than not. Now, before we kind of go into anything else to wrap up there, I want to talk about a different phenomenon that we're seeing now that we really haven't seen before.
Okay.
Or at least for a long time, I should say. And it's this phenomena of people being, quote, locked in to their property. Okay. So what we mean by that, and this is something that we talked about last year and the beginning of this year, and now we are seeing it. And we even heard, I think it was this last week or two, the economist for National Association of Realtors, Lawrence Yoon, he came out and started talking about people being locked into their properties as well. So what we mean is you have folks that over the last 2 years have gotten mortgages at very low rates. Like you said, sometimes they're in the twos, threes.
There's some that are bottom level too. Like, we're talking ridiculously low levels.
And so these folks like we've said before, they don't want to let go of that. They can't get, I mean, look at that. We're talking about 5.5% now. Not only do they not want to let it go, but a lot of times they can't.
Yeah, they can't afford something different. That's what we
talk about locked in. They can't afford even the current house that they're in at these mortgage rates.
Correct. Yeah, so look at that lateral movement. And that's kind of the conversation that we have, right? Is people are doing cash out refis. And at the time that they do a cash out refi and they maintain low twos and threes, they probably pushed their limit to the furthest, right? Like they said, okay, this is probably the furthest I can go mortgage payment wise with this rate and this type of equity out of my home. Well, now with an over 2% increase in their loan potentially, right? And even more, like we're talking almost 3% increase right, for some of their sports, loan. Yeah. Now they're looking at, okay, let's say, and granted, if it's in a vacuum, we're talking both houses, the one they may want to buy and the one they're currently in, both appreciated at the same rate. So, right, we can take out appreciation for this conversation. We're just looking at rates. Well, the key is would you move laterally for that pool? Because right now your current house doesn't have a pool, right? So that's enjoyment. But right now you're sitting at a 2.5% interest rate, right, and your mortgage is, let's just say, $2,000. Or you can move laterally, honey, and get your pool. But now your mortgage is $2,800 a month or $3,000 a month.
I was going to say their mortgage rate would double. Like if they're sitting at 2.5 and now they got to be over 5.
And on top of that, you're also talking about now you got to pay closing costs for making a switch. You got to pay commissions. You got to pay fees for selling your home and all these other factors that go alongside it. So moving laterally right now is expensive.
Right. And so what does this lead to? If you've got these folks that are locked in, that means they're not selling, which means additional constraint on supply. Yep. So not only do we not have building coming in quick enough to add to this inventory, but now you've got folks, look, these people, the majority of them, when we've run through these numbers in the metro area, they've got equity and these people qualify. This is not, you know, they're not, this isn't 2005 again, where they're giving loans to anybody. These people really qualified for this. They have equity in these homes and they have very low rates. They're not giving these up. And so these folks are going to hang on to them. It's going to constrain supply even more and continue to have this issue of the low supply that we have.
So then even though we have some decreased demand because of rates, because of the supply decreases alongside it, it doesn't change anything. We're back in the same situation. It's kind of hurting both situations just the same.
Destroying demand is not creating.
And it's just, it's making people's payments higher. And it's making houses actually come less on. So Pete, give me your prediction here, because we're looking at this market, right? Let's say this continues. Let's say this locked in mentality gets worse. Less and less people refi. They're staying put. Mm-hmm. Obviously, certain people have to move because of jobs and situational, you know, environment things where, hey, I got to move across the country, right? If they're moving to Arizona, okay, as we still continue to see people moving into this state. But again, demand increases or decreases. So if we get less and less demand and yet supply diminishes as well, what does this look like a year from now, 2 years from now?
You know what? We're going to continue to see price increases because that's the funny part is
does this create more price increases?
They're going to have rising interest rates with rising costs. And you have people who say, oh, well, that's going to continue to push prices down. Well, not right away. We would have those higher interest rates. That if those higher interest rates continue and go higher from here, that means the economy is still moving along and most likely that inflation is still moving along, which means that those prices continue to be pushed up. So we have what we've talked about for the last, you know, year plus on here. This supply issue will continue to hinder it and will continue to be the issue to look at. Keep your eye on the supply. What will change things is when supply materially starts to increase, and we are not seeing that now. And again, like we've been saying, that's going to take time to work its way
through. And those
through.
Rates are going to make it harder to continue to build and do things.
Yep.
Because if rates climb, if that 10-year climbs, then that affects all the other rates. So if you want to build a house, it's going to cost more money because as you're getting those construction loans and you're getting these things, it costs more to borrow the money needed to do so. These big builders, they're not paying it with cash. And they're not doing it.
Like we say, let's look about this, Keith. What if you've got people that are locked in, you've got borrowing costs going up. So not only are the builders' costs going up, but now if you've got fewer, you continue to destroy demand, you've got fewer buyers for that, that might actually slow down their building at that point.
Well, and they're worried. So think about this. If you're building, let's just say you're building for a consumer let's use a prime example. Let's say you're building out in Maricopa or Casa Grande or somewhere deep, and you're building for that consumer that's sitting between $300,000 and $400,000. Let's just say, well, with increase of rates, they may not be able to afford your consumer that used to be your consumer is not your consumer anymore. Your demographic just changed because of rates while you're middle of a build. You got the permits, you got the plans, you're in construction, and your buyers can no longer afford the house because rates move. Because remember, when buyers go into a new build, they lock the home in and not the rate. They're not getting that 2.5% and then you build. Yep. They're going to be coming back to this thing, looking at rates and saying, oh my gosh, I locked in what I thought was a 3% interest rate and now we're at 6.5%.
Yep.
That legitimately could be a concern for them.
It's a big difference. So folks, I mean, I would say to wrap it up, you know, we've got rates that have increased at a super, super rapid rate of increase, if you will. The quickness that the rates changed in the first 3.5 months has just been incredible. So we've seen them shoot up. But, you know, my opinion is we're probably at the closer, like I said, to the top end of that than we are to the bottom end of where we're going to be with rates. But keep an eye on supply.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens as we move forward with this. If we break this trend that we've talked about, if rates continue to go up, or if we start bumping up towards the top end of that thing and see them kind of level out or even come down a little
bit. Yeah, I think I have one more question for you, Pete. Let's. What about sales? Because we talk a lot about the consumer, right? A lot. And those of you guys listening, thinking about buying or selling a house, but targeted more to the real estate agent. Mm-hmm. If we see supply decrease and we see demand decrease, in my mind, 2 minus 2 is 0, right? So you're looking at it like, do we see sales dramatically decrease in the real estate industry?
Not at this point. Okay. And not at this rate. I mean, we still have to continue to see rates go up. You know, I mean, if they go up, if mortgage rates go up another percent from here, I think we'll definitely start to really feel that at that point. Yeah. At this point, you still have a lot of consumers, a lot of clients
trying to rush it in, and that can still
do it because, like we said, you know, lending hasn't been easy. It's still been hard to qualify for loans. And so you still have people like a lot of folks, not everyone, but a lot of folks that can absorb these at this point. But we're starting to get close to that point where they might not be able to. But, you know, yeah, as long as we continue to see, I don't know that we can destroy enough demand. We still, especially in Arizona, so many people moving here, so many people for each house, still a lot of cash buyers, 30% cash buyers in the first quarter. So we still got a long ways to go before we start to see some of this stuff turn.
Interesting things to take a peek at as well as we go forward is what is this going to do to the rental market, right? Like we're going to see a lot of change and rates increase, like mortgages are starting to become very expensive. So does that make consumers say, you know what, I'm not buying a house, I got to rent, it's cheaper. We're going to get to that point potentially, but rates are climbing. So it's like investors have a higher interest rate too.
And it goes, and that's a scale. And we'll end on this. That's a scale that goes back and forth. So you're right, Keith. Mortgage rates go up. It becomes more expensive to buy than the rent, pushes people to rent. What does that do? Causes more demand for rent. Rental supply goes down, causes rents to go up, pushes people back towards the buy. So you have this seesaw, right? That goes back and forth.
So I'm excited to see how this thing is going to play out, guys. Stay tuned. We're going to continue to tackle rates on a very regular basis and just keep you on track with it because they're changing so quickly that it calls for attention regularly. So we're excited about that and just to see how this market plays out. But again, everything's going strong still. No reason for concern, just to be aware. Just make sure you guys are watching what's happening and that you're aware of your surroundings amongst the economy and what we're doing and seeing with rates and the real estate industry. So thanks, guys, for tuning in this week. We're going to come back to you guys here in a couple weeks. And again, like always, follow us on Instagram, social media, Facebook, and YouTube. We would love your subscription and to continue to bring you relevant and focused data in this up and coming months and these up and coming years. So we'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.